1985 brings us onwards in Ferns Union to Ballymore, that distinctive little church, so atmospheric, part historically of the Ballymore domain, with its splendidly carved lectern that always makes an impression. And as I think of Ballymore, it strikes me it was the one place I managed to be this year for anything like a normal harvest Thanksgiving. I know singing was constrained, numbers and decorating were limited, but somehow it was the one place in the diocese in which I managed to find myself for the comforting and necessary and cheering raising of Harvest Home. And perhaps in a way, I just think of all the harvests that didn't happen in the diocese this year. The music not sung, the teas not shared, the generous collections not always capable of being offered for various good causes often associated with the harvest, including indeed the work of the Bishop's Appeal. So perhaps one might dare to suggest to listeners that in a way the causes these peregrinations are supporting to do with women's illiteracy, allied to the Bishop's Appeal, they might be some means that people might display harvest-style generosity, albeit belatedly, especially in places where there wasn't an opportunity to do the harvest as normally and joyfully as possible this year. We're talking about 1985, which was the year, and here again I turn to an inside event in the Church of Ireland, when the first two women, Catherine Poulton and Kathleen Young — Catherine was much later to be a Dean of Ossory — they had been selected for ordination training and they started in the college in Braemar Park in Dublin. At the time, only the diaconate was open to them, but this was soon to change as soon as 1990, when it became possible 30 years ago for women to be both priests and bishops. The Church of Ireland congratulated itself on being to the fore when it came to women's ministry in these islands, the first church in these islands to, and much ahead of the others, deal with women in the episcopate, for example. But there was a flip side. And I've ranted on about this before. To what extent have we followed through? Is the glass ceiling or the stained glass ceiling still firmly in place? If so, why? And what are we doing strategically to ensure that the voice and the contribution of women is manifest at every level? Taking into account why there might be challenges in women's advancement to various roles, including within ordained ministry, and what we propose to do about it. As I write, we have one female bishop amongst 12. None has yet been elected by an electoral college, which really is little short of appalling. We have one female archdeacon in this diocese, in the whole country. We have had over the years a small handful of deans, which has included two among our number, one at present. And so many people still instinctively use male language when they talk of things to do with the clergy. Yet recently at a Celtic bishops' conference, I was made wonderfully aware that no less than half the Welsh bishops are now women, and that province decided to ordain women as bishops many years after we did so. There's something deeply problematical here in terms of strategy, discernment of gifts, recognition of the need for balance. I wish I could put my finger on an easy way forward that is not patronising or inappropriate, that truly, in a desirable way, brings about the longed for ends, but it's hard to do so. Perhaps the male bishops of dioceses reasonably likely to consider, if not elect, a woman at the next vacancy should do something to prepare the ground, at least for the possibility. Perhaps no episcopal election should occur without a requirement for a gender balance shortlist. We can consider, although I know it's only a limitedly useful analogy, how in public general elections, the need for a proper choice involving a significantly gender balanced panel of candidates has emerged. Everyone agrees that the ordained ministry of women has enriched the church beyond measure, and our capacity to ordain women is in truth the envy of some of our ecumenical partners. But 35 years since the first idealistic and gutsy women entered the Church of Ireland Theological College, it is absolutely time to break stained glass that still lurks over our heads in the ceiling.